I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're talking about that which defiles, about how Jesus talked about it's the things that come from within. It's the things that come from our heart that are that which defiles us. Everything starts from within us. So we're going to be taking a look at this passage of scripture today from Mark chapter 7, talking about what Jesus says is the things that defile us. It's not eating with unclean hands. It's the things that come from within us. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions, we start with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, which is about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And if you want to find some additional training on this prayer, on our free tools and resources page, you can find some additional training videos that go with this prayer and what we do after prayer, which is the other half of prayer, taking some time to get still and to listen and to examine ourselves before we get into our time of communion for today. Let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I just thank you for your steadfast, unfailing love for us, that nothing is impossible with you. And I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to take a few minutes to go through the other half of prayer, our first step as we lead into our time of communion. Let's get positioned in the light, getting our hearts and minds positioned in the light. We've been released from darkness, transferred into the light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that transfer happens through the forgiveness of sins. It's the forgiveness of sins that brings us in. But that forgiveness, for us to walk in that light, has to flow through three levels. We have to receive that forgiveness and grace from God. Then it's got to flow through us in the middle. Often we're in the way in the middle. We're beating ourselves up, condemning ourselves, disappointed with ourselves, putting all this excess pressure and expectation on ourselves that was never meant to be there. Learning to give yourself that same grace and forgiveness, even when you miss it, that God has given you. And then letting that flow through you to other people, to walk in the light, giving other people that same love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, taking the pressure off them, just like God has done for you. That's how we begin to truly walk in the light, walking in forgiveness and grace and love. It's got to flow through those three levels. And then we got to begin to magnify that light. The light of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. How can we begin to magnify that light? Begin to focus on things that you're grateful for. Focus on what's going well. Focus on God being with you. In our lives, we can begin to magnify God and how much he loves us, that nothing's impossible with him, that he can make all grace abound to us, that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, we can abound to every good work. We can begin to focus on and magnify those things. Or we can focus on what's wrong. We can focus on complaining and moaning and groaning about all the evil, all the things that are wrong, all the things people did to you. Which one are you more focused on? We can begin to magnify that light through thanksgiving, through praise for God, by just staying focused on him, single-minded on him. One of the greatest keys to being in faith, it takes faith to walk in the light. One of the greatest keys to being in faith is being single-minded. Single-minded on your God, on God, not double-minded where we're wavering back and forth. Single-minded with our focus on God. And we can begin to magnify that light again by focusing on what went well. What steps forward did you take? What ways have you seen God come through? If you're really feeling discouraged, one of the greatest things you can do is just look back at all the ways that God has come through for you in your life. Look back at all he's done. Look back at how much he's done in your life, how far he has brought you to this point. And you'll gain some encouragement. Your faith will begin to rise up. Your faith will begin to grow as you meditate on those things. Rather than often we look at how far we have to go. It looks big. It looks overwhelming. It looks challenging. And we get discouraged. Looking at how far God has brought you already, you can gain some encouragement and your faith will begin to grow as you look at his testimonies. Then how are we doing in our emotions? I like to think of peace and joy as some of my greatest indicators that I'm single-minded in my faith, that I'm living in the present moment, that I'm aware of God's presence with me. I think of peace as my indicator of being single-minded in my faith, that I'm magnifying God, I'm magnifying the light rather than focusing on evil and darkness and all the things to complain about. Peace is my indicator. When I begin to meditate and focus on all the problems and issues in life, steals our peace. Lets us know what we're more focused on, what we're magnifying in our life. I like to think of joy as our indicator of presence, that we're living in the present moment, aware of God's presence with us. Often our minds get dwelling on the past, thinking about the future. And yes, there's times to gain some encouragement from the past, to see all the ways God has come through. There's times to vision and dream about the future of where God's leading you. But the rest of the time, we got to stay in the present moment, executing the things that we know to do and doing it cheerfully and joyfully and confidently in God, because we know that he's with us. And he's not only going to give us the leading of what to do in our lives, he's going to give us the equipping and the anointing and the empowering to do it in his strength, to get some supernatural results in the things that we do. Which leads us to our next question. What do you know to do today? If we're going to make a plan for the day, what do you know to do today? There might be some things that need to be done, administrative things, things around the house, things in your workplace. But there might be some things like, you know I need to do that. I keep meaning to do that, but I keep putting it off. What are those things? And how could you take a step forward in that direction today? Maybe God is prompting or stirring some bigger project or something, some step of faith that you know he's been stirring, but you haven't taken that step just yet. How could you take one step forward in that direction today? And then as we begin to move forward, begin to execute these things that we know to do, trusting that he's there with us to help us do them, we got to stay tuned into his leading, tuned into his voice, because it's his voice that leads us to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. So just taking a few minutes to get still and to listen. What is the most important thing God has been trying to teach you or show you over the last 24 hours? Taking a couple minutes to just get still and to listen, ask him that question. God, what is the most important thing you've been trying to show me over the last day? And just get still and listen, and whatever comes to mind, whether you think it's God or not, write it down. Whatever comes to mind, just begin to write it down. You begin to do this day by day. He begins to stack one lesson on top of the next, on top of the next, on top of the next. And he begins to lead you out to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. So today we're talking about that which defiles. Yesterday, I was recording our video for our weekly yearly cycle updates, talking about touch no unclean thing. In Corinthians, it tells us touch no unclean thing out of reverence for God. And we talked about one of the most important areas to not touch unclean things in is our minds. We often touch things in our mind that we shouldn't be touching. And everything comes from within. So I'm thinking about that concept because in our yearly cycle, we're coming up on the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement here in a couple weeks. They're coming up soon. And this is a time to get everything righted, to get everything cleaned out, to get everything ready for the Day of Atonement. These are all annual reminders. This is the way we're supposed to be living all the time. But we have an annual reminder of it every year, just in case we ever get off track. Give us a little nudge back in the right direction. And so I'm thinking about that which defiles. And I opened up my Bible last night before bed. And this is the chapter, Mark chapter 7, that I just happened to be on, talking about that which defiles. So we're going to take a look at Mark chapter 7 here, the first several paragraphs. So it says here, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. So the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate. And the Pharisees are taken aback by this. So the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. So it became a ritual, a certain way that you had to wash your hands, holding on to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? So Jesus, why are your disciples eating their food without going through these ceremonial washings of their hands? And Jesus replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Notice Jesus is pretty stern here. He was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So these people are seeking to look good in front of other men. They're not seeking to do things out of awe and reverence for God. So we're coming into the 10 days of awe. And one of our partners in the Abundant Life Blueprint, she asked the other night, what's with the awe part of this? Why is it 10 days of awe? And I hadn't really thought about it before. And as I began to think about it, I'm thinking of, when I think of awe, I believe it's in the Amplified Version of the Bible. It talks about the fear of the Lord is reverent awe for God. Reverent awe for God. The fear of the Lord, reverence, honor, submission, awe for God. Says that Jesus had reverent submission for God when he offered himself up. So we have this awe of God where we're seeking to please him with our lives. The Bible talks about the fear of man is a snare, but the fear of the Lord leads to life. And so you see here, the Pharisees and the Jewish people, they had the fear of man. They wanted to look good in front of each other. They were not doing it to look good for God. They were not doing it to please God. They were doing it to look good for each other. So it was the fear of man rather than the fear of God. And it made the word of God basically null, of no effect in their life. They worship him in vain. Their teachings were merely human rules and their hearts were far from him. He says, you've let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, so that's what God said. But you say, so they say something different. That if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that is, it's devoted to God. So you had something that could have been used to help your father or mother, but you say, oh, it's devoted to God. And then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. So they have something that they could have used to be a blessing to their father or mother, But then they tell them, oh, it's devoted to God. You can't use that. And so they can't use it to honor their father and the mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. And you do many things like that. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and he said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. So it's not what goes into you that defiles you. It's what comes out of you that defiles. Think about this. We have information, all kinds of things coming into our bodies all the time that our body has to process and make decisions on what to do with. Based on what's in our hearts determines what we decide and what comes out of us. What we meditate on in our hearts determines what comes out of us. So then Jesus says, after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. And notice, Jesus is pretty stern here again. He tells his disciples, are you so dull? Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Notice, your thoughts, where do they come from? Your heart. The environment is triggering things in our life sometimes, and it triggers thoughts to come up out of our hearts. These evil thoughts come from our hearts. That which defiles comes from within. Those evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, being deceitful, lewdness, envy, coveting what other people have, slander or gossiping, talking about other people in a not nice way, arrogance and folly, all of these evils come from inside and defile a person. All of these evils can come from inside. So we're going to be taking communion today. And one of the things I've learned is that it is grace that softens our hearts. It's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. It's grace that softens our hearts. We're in a time of year where it's time to get things righted. So we're going to be believing God. We're going to be asking God today as we take communion for his help. Because he's greater than our hearts. I believe that's 1 John. He's greater than our hearts. And that his grace can transform and change our hearts so that what comes out of our hearts is lovely and pure and true and just and of good report, the thoughts that are coming into our mind. Asking for his help with those things. Because it's out of our hearts that good thoughts can also come. Asking for his help to soften our hearts in that area. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your steadfast, unfailing love for us and that nothing is impossible with you. We just ask for your grace, Lord, this bread and this juice today, just a reminder of your love and your great grace for us, that you can change our hearts. Think about in the Old Testament, talked about you would give the people a new heart, that you would roll away their hearts of stone, give them new hearts of flesh with your laws written on them, Lord. Father, we're just asking for your help to get our hearts righted, to get our thoughts righted. Just asking for your help in that area, Lord. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he told his disciples, take it, receive it. That he has the power to change hearts. It's his grace and his goodness that changes hearts. He makes you right. Jesus makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We thank you for it, Father. Just ask you to bless this bread in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light, gives us access to God's grace that can change our hearts. We have this new covenant with God. We can have this covenant relationship with him. We can know him more and more. Father, we just thank you for this cup and what it represents, and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's simply about walking it out. I think much of this is about what you're magnifying, what you're meditating on the inside. Spending time with God, meditating on his word, letting it roll over consistently so that it's playing in your mind all day long. It will have it so you have good thoughts going on. And what's going to come out of you is not that which defiles, but that which brings life. That's where we're trying to get to. So what are you meditating on? Begin to catch yourself as you begin to meditate on things that are not good. Being envious, covetous, thinking evil about people, thinking about all the ways people have wronged you. Getting into all these thoughts, casting them down, beginning to meditate on God's love, his goodness, his grace instead. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.